everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 43 and a half, and I'm your host, Andy Godoy. Right, so first things first, guys, I want to tell you we have got another amazing audition for the co-host position on the Retro Asylum podcast, and this time taking the hot seat is Simon LCFC. Now, that name does sound familiar. That's because Simon did a guest slot with Foggy a few episodes ago where they talked about the top 10 Spectrum games, and he did a fantastic job then. And I'll tell you what, in this audition episode, he has done absolutely fantastic. Now, he covers one of my favourite games, and that game is Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Now, before we go on to that main part of the podcast, which is the audition, I just want to cover a few little things. Now, first of all, I want to quickly plug a few things. I want to give a big special mention to A Beads C Starts. Now, Darren has been kind enough to create us some fantastic sprite art. He's created us a Dizzy, Super Mario, and Sonic. And if you want to win these amazing sprite arts, sprite bead art, I should say, head on over to the forum. There is a little thread there. And basically, all you have to do is take a photograph relating to retro gaming, so you could take a picture of a control pad, you could take a picture of a console, just anything retro gaming related. You can Photoshop it, you can make it black and white, you can really just play around with the idea, and the best photograph will win these amazing bead arts by Darren. And don't forget to check out Darren's site, which is A Beads C Start, and that's on Facebook. Now, the next thing I want to talk to you about, guys, is the next Essex Car Boot £20 Challenge. And this is the third one. And once again, it'll be held in the Dunton Boot Sale. And it's on the 21st of July. So if you do want to attend this, you can email me at andy@retroasylum.com. You can message me on Twitter, and that's retroasylum1. Or you can send me a PM on the forum. Because I tell you what, guys, the Dunton Car Boot Sale is absolutely fantastic. Last time I went, I had an amazing day, and I'm really hoping that this time it will be even better. And hopefully, I might find a NES, I might find a Super Nintendo, or even a Sega Master System. Those are the machines that I'm looking for. So the Essex Car Boot Sale is on the 21st of July, Dunton. Message me for more information. Right. Now, I've got one more thing, actually, before I go on to the main podcast, and that is Retromania. Now, Retromania, guys, is a little event that we're holding, and it's being held in Essex. Now, I'll tell you what, guys, it's going to be a fantastic day out. Before I actually tell you a little bit more about it, let me tell you where it is, first of all. It's being held at the Wickford Community Centre, Market Road, Wickford, Essex, SS120AG. Now, it's completely free. You don't have to pay for anything. We're going to have loads of different machines there, over 40 machines, like with monitors and everything. Loads of variation from the Spectrum to the C64 to some Amstrads to Master System, Sega Saturns. Absolutely loads of consoles that, you know, you've played or you wish you'd played. And it's going to be a great day. Now, unlike other events like Revival or Play, which those events are huge, they're massive, the only way I can describe this is, like, just imagine just going to your friend's house and it's, you know, just sitting around talking, playing games. Because this event is smaller, I think we could probably get maximum about 40 people there. So it's a lot more intimate. You can play all the machines. There won't be massive queues or anything. And we're going to have little gaming tournaments as well. So we're going to have tournaments on Micro Machines, on the Mega Drive, Virtual Tennis on the Dreamcast, Sensible Soccer on the Amiga, Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo, GoldenEye on the N64. It's going to be a fantastic day. The event starts at 10 o'clock. The gameplay side of it finishes at 6 p.m. And then we have to pack up, guys, because that's all I could afford, really, for this room. But the bar does stay open till 11 o'clock, and it's a bank holiday weekend. So don't forget, this is on August the 25th, and that's Retromania. So stay tuned for more information on that, guys. So anyway, rather than me just blabbering on, let's move on to the main part of the podcast. And I've got to say, I'm a big fan of this game, and I think Simon has done a fantastic job talking about this. And this is the second to last audition. We've got one more audition in 2 weeks' time, and that is Avenue. And then once we've done that, We're going to start doing the site poll, and then we're going to choose two winners. And the way that's going to work, the two winners of the poll that we're going to put up on the forum will be the new two co-hosts. Now, we have got some ideas for the people that don't actually win, but I'll tell you more about that in a few weeks' time anyway, guys. So sit back and enjoy and listen to Simon LCFC's fantastic review on Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Hi, this is Simon LCFC from the Retro Asylum forums. For this show, I'm going to be taking an in-depth look at probably the best title in the Castlevania canon. Before I start, I'd like to make a brief mention of Michiru Yamane's fantastic soundtrack, which I'll be playing in the background throughout this review. Obviously, it isn't practical to play every piece of music, so hopefully I've catered to fans of this game by including the very best bits. But I'll start with a bit of history. Konami's seminal series began way back in 1986 with the release of Vampire Killer on the MSX. In 1987, Castlevania found itself among the flagship of titles for Nintendo's Famicom system, with the release of three games leading up to 1989. Between those releases, 1988's Haunted Castle found its way onto the arcades, with, it has to be said, limited success. A multitude of titles followed on practically every format, from the Sublime, Rondo of Blood on the PC Engine, and certainly Super Castlevania IV on the Super Nintendo, to, well, the frankly awful, particularly the Kid Dracula spin-off on the Game Boy, and, well, let's be honest, the Sega Mega Drive incarnations weren't particularly good either, and we won't even go anywhere near the N64 incarnations. Terrible games. But let's go back to 1997, and it's a full 2 years since the last release of a Castlevania title. Konami unleashed the spectacular Dracula X Nocturne in the Moonlight for the Sega Saturn and the Sony PlayStation. Over here, this was released as Symphony of the Night. From the off, the game set a standard for Castlevania games that most of its successors couldn't hope to match. Unlike its predecessors, it had lots of RPG elements. A levelling structure complete with hit points, magic, strength, the standard RPG stuff, and it was a deceptively open game. Previous incarnations followed a very strict level-like structure. Go through level, fight boss, occasionally have a small cutscene, and continue. Symphony appeared to differ from this structure, but this was a very clever deceit by Konami, and one that appeared to be lifted from another classic game, Nintendo's Super Metroid. The similarities between the two and the collect items to access new areas type structure would find a genre of its own, with these titles being affectionately called Metroidvania type games. But Symphony did things a little differently from its predecessors, both real and spiritual. For starters, you were fully equipped with some of the best weapons and armour in the game. The opening began with the ending of Rondo of Blood, with you conducting the final battle with Dracula while you played as Richter Belmont. Successfully dispatching Dracula saw you racing through the castle as Alucard, only to have Death steal all of your equipment. You'd face dozens of enemies as you progressed through the corridors, all the while hunting for weapons, items, artifacts to give you back your advantage. It all seemed very open and non-linear, which of course it wasn't. Essential items were required to enter specific areas, visit the librarian to buy an item to open the magical blue doors, find the leap stone to reach previously inaccessible areas, magic orbs could transform you into a bat, a wolf, or even mist, and you could summon familiars to help. In addition to all of this, there was a massive amount of items to collect. Collectible food, and there was a lot of food in this game, from pot roast and turkeys to shiitake mushrooms, cloaks that could be reversed or even customised on the options menu, the obligatory weapons, shields and armour, some of which could be combined to produce special attacks or shielding, and smart bomb type items like the Power of Sire, which were one use only, unless you were mean enough to hoard 250,000 gold pieces and buy a duplicator, once it became available of course. The familiar system was very simple but effective. In true RPG fashion, these had levels too, and would gain experience as you did, becoming more powerful as you progressed. There were several to choose from too. The fairy would heal you if your HP dropped too low. The demon and sword would fight on your behalf, and the demon could even help you find secret areas. If the sword familiar reached level 100, it transformed into the most powerful weapon in the game. And of course, the secret areas that the demon helped you find were actually essential, and once they were found, they would drastically alter the course of the game. The castle itself was huge and varied, with separate pieces of music for each area. Every bit was a joy to play through, and the soundtrack was perfect. There was no lack of enemies to fight. Dozens and dozens of different creatures and tons of bosses were scattered around, each with different weaknesses, resistances, item drops. Weapons in the game were all unique. Some were two-handed, most of all one-handed, and several even gave you the ability to pull off special moves, keyed in a fashion not dissimilar to the Street Fighter type games. Further into the game, spells became available, provided you have the money of course, and these could only be purchased from the Librarian, one of your few allies in the game. When you finally waded through the castle's seemingly never-ending mysteries and secrets and reached the climactic showdown, the game threw up its coup de grace. The final boss wasn't Dracula. It actually turned out to be Richter Belmont, the hero of Rondo of Blood. A quick glance at the status screen would give you a percentage relating to how much of the castle you'd explored. Only 100% wasn't the complete game. To finish this game properly, you were required to get a whopping 200.6%. Apparently, the extra 0.6% was due to the rooms not spaced out properly in the reverse castle. Without spoiling this game too much, you were required to perform a set of tasks that enabled you to find Maria and acquire a set of holy sunglasses. Wearing these while fighting Richter would show that he's actually being possessed. Attack the orb possessing him and he'd be freed, which in turn would lead to a cutscene showing a reverse castle floating down and landing just above the original. This was exactly the same size and layout as the original, but upside down, containing all new items, artifacts, enemies and bosses. Reaching the end of that would bring you a final showdown with Dracula, but surviving would prove seriously tricky. The difficulty level was ramped up massively in the second castle. The greatest tragedy of Symphony of the Night, of course, is that this sold in the dozens. Certainly the PlayStation version was beautifully packaged, with an art book and Michiru Yamane's fantastic soundtrack CD, but it just didn't sell. It was soon resigned to bargain buckets everywhere, and sold for less than a tenner, a similar fate that would befall Yoshi's Island on the Super Nintendo, which is ironic, as now it's one of the most sought-after PlayStation titles. Complete UK versions regularly fetch between £80 and £120, although incomplete US and Japanese versions are much cheaper. It's also probably worth pointing out that the Japanese PlayStation and Sega Saturn versions contain little extras not found in the other versions, such as extra items and a couple of alternate familiars, which, as it turns out, were pretty much aesthetic choices. The alternate fairy was slightly different, and the alternate demon wore a clown mask. They didn't really add anything new to the game except a couple of extra secret areas and the choice of different looking helpers, but they were nice little touches nonetheless, which were oddly removed from the PAL and the US releases. Anyway, there you have it. Not only is Symphony of the Night easily the biggest and best Castlevania title, it's probably one of the greatest games ever made. This has been Simon LCFC for Retro Asylum. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Bye-bye.
Right, so guys, I really hope you enjoyed that. I mean, Castlevania Symphony of the Night is one of my favourite games, and I think Simon done a fantastic job explaining it, much better than I could actually ever explain it, because I love this game, and it's hard to put into words how amazing this game is. If you haven't played it, I'd really recommend that you check it out. I mean, I don't think anyone could have sold this game better than Simon just did now, explaining about all the little touches, the music and everything. This game's absolutely fantastic. And like I said before, guys, this is our second to last audition. We've got one more, which is Avani, and that is in 2 weeks' time. And then once we've done that, we will put up a poll on the forum, get voting, and pick your favourite audition. And the two best ones will be the new co-host of the Retro Asylum podcast. We've got loads of other little things planned happening over the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that, guys. So let me just give out a few shout-outs to a few people, actually. First of all, I'd like to thank our sponsors. First sponsor I'd like to thank is Anthony Ogden, which is Uniforex on the forum. Anthony, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, because for the last couple of months, you've always been donating to us, and it's really helped us big time. I'd also like to thank Darren, a forum moderator. I know he's a little bit busy, tied up with work and stuff, but I know he does listen to the show, and I really appreciate that donation you made. I'd also like to thank Michael Keith. Michael, thank you very much, mate. Really, really appreciate that. Stelios, thank you so much. It's the second time, I think, in the last 2 months you've done this. So I really appreciate that. And I'd like to thank Darren from ABC Start for his fantastic prize that he's given us. So yeah, don't forget you can win that prize, the Sonic, Mario and Dizzy, by going to our forum. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.